We'll bring our next guest into the conversation. He is Elliot Friedman, our weekly visit for Hockey Night in Canada. And 31 Thoughts, brought to you as always by Maui Gym Sunglasses. The view is better from here. I had some friends in town, Elliot. They were at the draft, and they were watching you, they said. We went golfing on Sunday, and they said, "We are convinced that Elliot Friedman does not tweet himself. He must have someone running his account, because like we were reading Twitter and we were watching him, and he was talking with GMs and talking with media. Then all of a sudden he'd tweet something. They couldn't wrap their head around it." And I said, "I know it's Elliot's account, and he's just versatile. That's all it is.
Very fast fingers."
Yeah, no, that's what I said. Yes,
that's creepy. Tell them to pay attention to somebody else.
No, man, the draft is boring. The draft was terrible. What else are they going to watch? You.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's bad. Okay. there's got to be better scenery than that.
They might have exhausted that as well. Elliot Friedman joins us for Maui Gym Sunglasses. Hey, you get it. We've talked a lot about Tyler Myers.
Really?
Yeah.
Hard to believe.
And here's the thing. With them trading away a future first pick in the JT Miller deal, they've pushed their chips in a little bit to the sense of, hey, like we can't do nothing. We need something. So are we living in this world of you better be happy with Tyler Myers, because you don't want to be stuck in musical chairs without any defenseman coming in?
No, I certainly think that is true. You're right. They have pushed their chips in with the first round. I mean, and it's a risk. I mean, there's no question about that. You look at this league right now. You think the Ottawa Senators, when they traded for Matt Duchene, thought that pick was going to be worth what it turned into?
Nope, no chance.
So, I mean, it's a risk. This is a league where every year teams miss the playoffs you don't expect. Teams make the playoffs you don't expect. Giving up, it's protected for 1 year, but unprotected first rounders is a big gamble in this league, a very big gamble. And, I do think that they've basically put themselves, and like we've talked about this, I felt that they were going to remodel their defense for a while now, that they really wanted to do it, and they're in the process of doing it. And, you know, it's funny, I totally forgot about this, but one Canuck said to me at the end of the year, "We could have 6 to 8 new players on this team next year." I said, "Really?" And he goes, "That's what I thought." And I was looking at, and he texted me at the draft after this all happened. And I said to you, like, he said to me, remember what I told you? Like, we're headed there. And I was like, you know, you're right. It could be like that. I don't know if it'll be quite that high, but it's going to be a few. Now, I think I understand. I heard you talk about Murph. I think people have tried to calm the hysteria on Myers, you know, quite a bit today. I mean, I heard the 7x7 rumors the other night. I don't know if I buy that either. I think that's probably high, but people make money in free agency, and I definitely think the Canucks are in big on them. And, you know, we'll see what happens.
Staying with Myers for a second, what other teams do you believe are in the hunt for his services?
Well, I mean, you know, who's looking for defense?
Seems like everybody, given the number of D-men I see floating around the league and getting traded.
Well, I'll tell you this. Like, I think Winnipeg would, in a perfect world, I think Winnipeg would love to have him back, especially now that Trouba's gone. But Winnipeg doesn't like term for guys who are approaching 30 like Myers is. If you look at them, Byfuglien and Wheeler, who were older than Myers, when they re-signed, they both got 5 years. So I don't know if it's likely that Winnipeg is going to end up doing that. I mean, like, I think Chicago was in on Hutton until they got DeHaan. I don't see how Toronto can do this. I don't think they have the cap room to do Myers. I think there's always interest in right shot defensemen. I just don't know if anybody has the want or the will as much as I think the Canucks do in this particular case.
Elliot Friedman joining us here, a presentation of Maui Gym Sunglasses. The view is better from here. You're right. People always look for right shot defensemen. Chris Tanev happens to be one of those, despite the fact he's been oft injured. Is there a market for Chris Tanev? And if so, what do you believe it looks like?
It's probably not as it's probably not as high as it was a couple years ago. Tanev is a good player. I don't want to knock Tanev at all. He's a good player. But he's a year away from unrestricted free agency, and he has trouble staying healthy. On his own, on his face, he's a good player. But Jacob Trouba, look what he just went for. You know, Tyson Barrie, and I know there was a lot of excitement on Friday night. What did you think he was going for? The one thing about Barrie is Colorado is patient, right? They were not going to make that deal. I heard that deal was not as close as everybody thought it was. I had some people say to me, you guys were all drunk if you thought that deal was close. And Colorado, they asked for a lot. That's what they do. I just think with he's a 60-point guy. I just think with Tanev, I heard that when you guys were talking Zucker, Tanev was a part of that package. And I just don't think it appealed to Minnesota. So I think his trade value is probably a bit lower than you would hope right now.
Well, and this is part of the conversation you and I had a few weeks ago on the show when, Jim Benning and company, you had said that they were, they had been peddling their guys and they were, quote, disappointed at the perceived value of some of their guys in the marketplace. That probably wasn't going to change leading up to round one on Friday.
Mm-hmm. No, I think that's true. Unless you're going to shake some guys loose that, you probably weren't going to. Unless you're going to shake some guys loose that you don't want to deal.
He is Elliot.
I look at who I think the Canucks want to trade, and that wasn't getting it done for Tyson Barrie.
Mm-hmm. Do you think, because I think people here are coming around on the idea of JT Miller. I actually really like the JT Miller fit and what it does for the Canucks next year. But one of the criticisms is, okay, if we're going to commit to moving a first-round pick, even if it's protected and then not protected in that second year, was there not – and I think that's why people are surprised that the Tyson Barrie deal didn't get done is, hey, we're looking at an unprotected first-round pick here in year two, and that still wasn't enough in a package to get a Tyson Barrie?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I'm with you on Miller. I think Miller is a pretty decent player. I saw him have some really good games for Tampa Bay. And I remember not this past season, but a year ago in the playoffs, he was physically dominant against Boston.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the best I ever saw him play. He ran over some of those guys. I think the thing that surprised most people is, look, Toronto had cap issues, and they paid a first rounder to Carolina to move Marleau, who Carolina is going to buy out. You take a look at what was the other big. You take a look at the Devils with Subban. They didn't give up much of anything to give Nashville cap space. I think what surprised everyone was people know that Tampa needs cap space and they didn't have to give up. They didn't have to pay that same kind of penalty. I think that was the surprise with that deal.
Agreed. And that's one of the topics we kicked around yesterday. Part of what the Canucks appeared to be paying for, if you want to give them the benefit of the doubt and assume they didn't overpay, to the moon, is that they're paying for cost certainty on the contract, which is a four-year deal and is always going to be a portable deal. And as the cap goes up 2 years from now, the deal for JT Miller looks better and better. Is that a line of thinking in the NHL right now?
I wonder if they have to pick up.
I believe it's the same situation as the Subban deal.
Well, I guess
when he was traded from Montreal, they don't have to honor the no move should they choose not to.
Yeah, that's a question we'll have to ask. Did they honor the no move clause?
Yeah, and I don't think they have to make that decision as of yet. I think they just have to make the decision prior to July 1st. I would assume from a business standpoint, you don't honor the no move, just like Nashville didn't honor it with PK Subban. But is that a line of thinking in the NHL moving forward, Elliot, that you're willing to pay a little more to have cost certainty on what you believe is a value contract?
Yeah, but I think in a lot of cases that's the case. I always believe you should sign guys the earlier the better and with as much term as you possibly can, especially if they're key cornerstone players in your organization. But again, when you look at the way the market was set around this time, it stands out in the fact that it was different. I mean, if Miller does what he can do, you know, it's going to be fine. You're going to look at it and say, well, we understand why it happened. But you got to make sure he's going to have to perform. There's no question about that.
He is Elliot Friedman. He joins us here on Sportsnet 650. Hall of Fame Day, and the name everybody's talking about is Guy Carboneau. Were you surprised at that shoulder tap today? I know we don't we don't get a lot of info on those behind the scenes discussions from the committee, but a lot of people didn't like the Carboneau Hall of Fame nod today. What do you think?
I have no problem with it. I have no problem with it at all. You know who's been campaigning for that for years? Bob Clark. Every time I did an interview with him and I asked him, or I saw an interview with him and he was asked about who should be in the Hall of Fame that isn't, he said Guy Carboneau.
Hmm.
And I'm not sure if Bob Clark is still on the committee, but if he is, I could see him driving that bus. He was a big Guy Carboneau guy. Like, you know, I think sometimes, and the other thing too is, like, that role gets totally ignored. Like, I have to tell you, I was really interested in this group there. I mean, to me, the biggest slam dunk was Haley Wickenheiser.
Yes.
You know, I believe that Sergei Zubov has been, you know, kind of forgotten for years, and he deserved to be there. You know, Carboneau, I have to tell you, Bob Clark has been driving that bus for a long time because he was a big believer in Guy Carboneau for years and years and years. And, you know, I actually have to tell you, I was really impressed with the Vaclav Nedomansky one because the guy's got a great history. And I went to school with his son not long after he defected. I went to a private school in Toronto. And his son, Vasek, and I looked him up today, and I think his son is now some sort of special effects guy or director in Los Angeles. But I remember, like, back when we were, like, 7 years old, I was in school with that kid. And he didn't talk a lot about, you know, his father coming over to North America and kind of how it went. But you could tell that family kind of went through a bit to get there. And I was really happy for him. I really was. I think that's a great one. I can't remember if I'm missing anybody right now. Oh, Rutherford and York. I mean,
yeah.
I don't have – who could have problems with those guys?
Well, going through a lot, I mean, people here are – and Guy Carboneau making it and Alexander Mignolet not making it this year, people got to get over it. It's not the committee saying Guy Carboneau is better than Alexander Mignolet, like everyone in their own time. But it's only a matter of time for Alexander Mignolet, is it not?
I would have to think so. I think McGillney's going to get in. Like, I'm a big Daniel Alfredson guy. I think he should be in. I really think Daniel Alfredson should be in the Hockey Hall of Fame, and I hope he does get in one day. I thought this was an interesting group. I mean, that's for sure. Like, I didn't know if Carboneau. Like, I did get one text message from today from someone I work with saying, Carboneau, WTF. Like, seriously? And I immediately knew when I heard his name that was a bus that Bob Clark drove for years.
Hmm.
Yeah, I was surprised. Count me among those surprised. And it's a topic we'll get into later on the show. I do want to come back to present-day hockey. Joe Pavelski may one day get some consideration. What are the chances he's moving on from San Jose?
Pretty decent. You know, I think people believe that, you know, he turned down some visits. I heard that there were some teams that wanted him to come visit, and he looked at them and said, you know, you're not really close enough to winning. So, you know, so he said no. I believe he might have talked to one of them on the phone, but I'm not sure he's going to visit. Winning is the most important thing for him. I mean, the two teams that everybody seems to think he's going to deal with are Dallas and Tampa. I don't know how Tampa is going to be able to do that, but I'll tell you this. I think that they're interested in him and he's interested in them.
The other one is offer sheets. We've talked about it for months now. Now that we're getting closer to the possibility, are you still confident we see one or more? Is it same old, same old? We talk about them, but nothing's happened.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know what to say about this anymore. I don't know. I think it's possible we get one. You know, I think it's really interesting that all of a sudden in the last couple of days, everybody started remembering that, oh, wait a sec, you don't have to have four in a row. They can be 4 and 5 years. I think this whole thing is really, I think it's a lot of people trying to make other people uncomfortable. Hmm. Now, who's going to do it? Like, I look at the teams, who's going to do an offer sheet? Like, I'm looking at the Islanders, and I am wondering, you know, Lamoriello has not signed Lee or Leonard. Is he trying Bobrovsky, Panarin? Is he leaving room for an offer sheet? Or is he just, you know, he doesn't like what he's heard with those two guys, and so he's waiting? I mean, that's kind of what everybody's wondering. What are they up to? But who are the other teams here who are going to offer sheet someone?
He is Elliot Friedman, 31 Thoughts, and Hockey Night in Canada. I just checked your Twitter, and you were not tweeting during the interview, so it all makes sense. Like, it all comes together. I'll tell my buddies.
Yeah, there you go. By the way, I haven't seen the whole... Have the Canucks come out with their list?
Yeah,
left?
They just did. No offers for Granlund, Gaunce, yeah. Hutton, Pouliot, and someone named LaPlante, whoever that is. They extended qualifying offers to 8 players: Besser, Boucher, Goldobin, Levo, Mott, Perron, Rafferty, and Tevez.
Can't believe they qualified Besser.
Hard to believe, isn't it?
Yeah.
Shocking.
I gotta tell you, I mean, we'll see what happens over the next few days, but you know, we'll see what goes on. The Hutton thing will be interesting. I can imagine Vancouver is going to try to re-sign him, but there's a market for him. I could see Toronto being on that too.
Sportsnet 650.